You're listening to Lace Up with your host, VJ Johnson II. Grab your tennis shoes, get your cleats, because it's time to lace up. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Lace Up. I'm your host, VJ Johnson II, ready to give you the latest, hottest news and updates in the world of sports. I appreciate everybody jumping in and joining the podcast right now and giving me a little bit of your time to talk some good, healthy sports talk as always. Look, y'all, I told y'all I'd be back. Here we are again. I hope everybody has had a great week. I know it's been up and down weather-wise. It's been cloudy. It says it's supposed to rain and thunderstorm all week, but the last couple of days it has been a little more so cloudy in showers here and there. But you know, overall, it's been a pretty smooth week, and I hope it has been the same for you guys as well. Excited to jump in and talk about some sports talk because some things have gone down since then. And of course, we are right on the cusp of the NBA Finals. So excited to jump in and talk about where we currently stand in regards to the Western Conference Finals. As we already know, the Eastern Conference Finals have already wrapped, and the Knicks are waiting their opponent in the NBA Finals. But before that, I just wanted to start this off because I know y'all didn't think I was going to forget about this, but my dog Drake, man, I had to, and I specifically had to wait for this episode to even talk about Drake. I know the album's dropped, but this is a special episode because he officially has broken the record. Again, Drake has officially become the male soloist with the most number one hits in Hot 100 history at 14. He was tied with Michael Jackson at 13, but he has officially passed Michael Jackson to become, again, has the most number one hits in Hot 100 history. Shout out to my boy Drake, GOAT Drake is what I like to call him. But let me make this very, very clear before I go on about Drake. Michael Jackson is forever going to be the GOAT. There's no debate about that. He is in a completely different stratosphere of his own. There's nobody touching Michael Jackson literally in anything. And so I just want to obviously acknowledge that there is, you know, nobody in music that's touching Michael Jackson. And you know, what he obviously did for music. But I just want to celebrate my other GOAT, you know, Drake, on just, you know, obviously like passing him from this standpoint, which is a great accomplishment, obviously. And I know it's a lot of hate out there about my boy Drake, but I really and truly feel like, look, if Michael Jackson was still alive, he would love Drake. And people hate to admit that. He would love how, you know, his approach to going against the industry, just like Michael Jackson did. It's you know, I think that there would have been a special bond to see. But, you know, again, just wanted to get that out there. But my boy Drake, man, y'all can hate on him, but he's breaking records. He's shattering the charts. Look, Iceman, Habib Thee, Maid of Honor. And the coolest thing about it is all three albums, they spell out him. If you put Habib Thee, Iceman, and Maid of Honor in order, just a great rollout for an album. Some more records. And this is for the haters. You know, I'm just piling it on because I know there's a lot of hate out there. So, you know, just got to let the facts and the numbers speak for themselves. Simultaneously charted 12 albums on the Billboard 200 for the first time in his career. He broke records for most simultaneous entries for a living soloist and hip-hop artist in history. He also officially became the first artist in history to earn over 400 Hot 100 chart entries. No one else has more than 300. And last but not least, Iceman officially tied the all-time record for most top 10 hits for any album in Hot 100 history. It joins Taylor Swift's Midnights, The Tortured Poets Department, and The Life of a Showgirl at 10 total top 10s each. So say what you want about Drake. Numbers speak for itself. Y'all hate out a lot online, but if you actually step outside, everybody knows who runs it. So, you know, and that's just a glimpse of what Drake has broken. There's still more that I hadn't even named, but all the songs on all three albums, all 43 songs charted. So look, there's no stopping the boy. Y'all asked about, you know, who has the summer hit. Drake has a few of them. So look, when you step outside this summer, just let y'all boys know. Look, and the song that broke the record, Michael Jackson's Janis, STFU. I know y'all know what that means. Obviously, I'm not going to say that on the show, but that's the song that broke the record, which is ironic because dissing Jay-Z and a few other people. And look, dissing Jay-Z, and he also passed Jay-Z as well. So, you know, look, my boy is doing big things, man. Hate all y'all want. We know who the GOAT is, and that's Drake, man. So I'm looking forward to this tour, and whenever he announces it, man, I'm locked in. But again, I can go on and on about Drake, but let's jump into this sports talk. I just had to. It wouldn't be right if I didn't start the show like that again. I know y'all thought I forgot, but I didn't. I was waiting for this moment. So look, before look, they need to make me part of OVO. Look, Drake. Look, if anybody from OVO camp is listening, man. I'm trying to be in OVO. I know there's a TikTok or there's this video out about, I saw on Instagram about somebody, you know, they were making fun of that friend that thinks that they're in OVO. I'm like, I don't think I'm in OVO. I know I'm in it. I haven't officially been announced, but I'm OVO VJ, man. For y'all who did not know, you know, I'm just wanted to introduce myself. Only thing that's missing is my owl chain, but I'm gonna get that. Just wait on it. But let's talk about let's segue here and let's talk about what's been going on in the world of sports. So the San Antonio Spurs, let's talk NBA. They forced a game 7 in the Western Conference Finals. So just want to do a quick recap. They really destroyed the Oklahoma City Thunder on Thursday night, 118-91. Look, Wimby came out, man, all business. Game 6, you saw it in the pregame. They showed the clip of him talking to his teammates. He came out mentally prepared. That trickled down to how the team and everybody else responded to the energy that he brought out from the tip. He finished this game 28 points, 10 rebounds. Great performance just collectively from the San Antonio Spurs. Wimby also was 4 of 9 from the three-point line. He just looked different, man, and he played with the same dominance that he did in his 41-point performance in Game 1. Now, he didn't put up 41 points, but just from that dominance aspect of it, you saw that. You saw big contributions from Ron Harper's son, Dylan Harper, 18 points off the bench. Solid performance from him. Look, Spurs out rebounded OKC 52-42. Their largest lead in this game was 28 points. And get this, they never trailed in this game. OKC was losing from the tip all the way till the clock hit zero. The Spurs, they really came out swinging. Like I said, they had the energy. They didn't look back. They were aggressive. They played with intensity, man. And Devin Vassell. Stephon Castle, he had 17 points in his game. They were also big contributions from an energy standpoint and really just setting the tone for the team. And that was not a team who wanted their season to end at home in San Antonio. So they did what needed to be done, and there will be a game 7. Like I didn't obviously predict this on the show because I know we had a little break in between. While the series was going on, so but I did expect this one to go 7 games, so excited to see that. OKC just on their end, Jalen Williams, he actually returned from his 3-game absence. As we all know, he had a left hamstring strain that he suffered in game 2, but he was ultimately ineffective in his return. He only scored 1 point off the bench. The Thunder were outscored by 18 points in the 10 minutes that Jalen Williams was on the court. He was upgraded from questionable to active minutes before tip-off, and I think there was only 5 minutes left on the clock when he joined the team in layup lines and before the pregame clock again, went off. So I don't know who decided to make that call at that point in time. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. He's not very, very not a factor in the game. SGA, who, you know, typically he's averaged throughout these playoffs 27 points and 8 assists. He struggled, right? He had 15 points, 4 assists, 6 of 18 from the field, 0 of 5 from 3. Just not a very good game from the two-time MVP in SGA. Well, Game 7, like I said, is going down on Saturday. And, well, actually, I'm going to say Saturday. It's going down tonight, I should say, 8:30. Going to be streamed on NBC and also Peacock. Again, OKC, they are a favorite by 3.5 points in this matchup. But I will tell you guys who I expect to win or who I'm going to pick to win this game toward the end of the show. So don't go anywhere. Stay locked in because we will talk a little bit more about that. But just wanted to catch you guys up to where we are currently and getting ready for that game 7. And before we move on, you are listening to the No Sports Talk Show right here on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and Audio Boom. And you're also watching via YouTube, of course. Appreciate everybody for tuning in from all the different channels. Make sure you hit that subscribe button that you see below on the YouTube channel if you're watching so that you can be alerted and updated on any time I post a new episode or I go live. Also, if you're streaming on other platforms, make sure you subscribe to the page as well, to the podcast, I should say, so you could also be notified, similar to like you would on YouTube. When an episode is posted, you will be notified. And again, I appreciate everybody who's continuing to rock with me and all the love and support. All right, so let's transition here. Let's talk about Women's College World Series. Yes, I'm taking it to softball, people. So the Women's College World Series is underway. Just wanted to get you guys caught up because we had some matchups that went down on Thursday. And obviously, there'll be some going throughout the weekend as we're gearing up for who's going to be in the final two teams in the World Series. So first off, we had the Mississippi State, number 11 Texas Tech knock off Mississippi State 8-0. So let's just unpack that. Well, I'll unpack each of these games. So again, there were four games. Number 11 Texas Tech beat Mississippi State 8-0. Texas Tech actually in the first quarter. Liz Homer put Texas Tech up 2-0 in the second inning. The bottom of the second, Alred doubled to right, giving Texas Tech a 3-0 lead. And also in the bottom of the second, Williams doubled to left, giving Texas Tech a 4-0 lead. In the bottom of the fifth, Liz, she singled to the shallow left, that gave Texas Tech a 5-0 lead. In the bottom of the fifth as well, Terry singled to center, putting Texas Tech up 6-0. And in the bottom of the fifth, Davis singled to put Texas Tech up 8-0. And that was your final score in that one. Again, Texas Tech dominated in this one. They had 7 hits, 1 home run, 12 total runners reached base. So dominant performance from them. And they advance to the next round. And Mississippi State will be playing in the elimination round. Then you have number 7 Tennessee, 7 seed Tennessee. They knocked off number 2 Texas 6-3. This matchup, Tennessee started off top of the second. Morrison homered center to a 3-run homer to put Tennessee up 3-0. In the top of the fifth, Holly scored on a wild pitch to put Tennessee up 4-0. In the bottom of the fifth, Texas Hunter grounded into a fielder's choice to shortstop, but Anderson scored, putting on an error actually, and put Texas on the board. So it was 4-1. Tennessee at the top of the sixth, Leach reached on an infield singer a single. Schuler scored to put Tennessee up 5-1. In the bottom of the sixth, Good homered for Texas to put the score to 5-3. And then at the top of the seventh, there was a sacrifice fly from Clark on Tennessee to put Tennessee up 6-3. And again, Tennessee walked away with the win in this matchup. They had 7 total hits, 12 runners reached base, 1 home run in this one. And then the next matchup, we had my Alabama Crimson Tide, number 1 overall seed. Shout out to the girls, knocking off number 8 UCLA 6-3. In this matchup, the Crimson Tide got on the board in the bottom of the first inning with Giles a single to left, allowing Young to score, putting Alabama up 1-0. In the top of the third, Slimp from UCLA homered, 2-run home run to put UCLA up 2-1. Right after that, very next batter, Grant homered to the right field, putting UCLA up 3-1. In the bottom of the fifth, Pupillo for Alabama homered to right, 2-run home run to tie the game up 3-3. In the bottom of the sixth, Wells for Alabama homered to center, a 3-run home run, putting Alabama up 6-3. Giving Alabama the win in this one. There was 10 hits from Alabama, 10 total hits, two home runs, 16 runners reached base. And we wrapped that one up with a roll tide as we advance to the next round. And then last but not least, we want to talk about the number 4 seed Nebraska knocked off number 5 seed Arkansas 5-3. And this matchup in the top of the second, Wyckoff from Arkansas, homer, 2-run home run to put Arkansas up 2-0. In the bottom of the fourth, Bland singled to right. Farrell scored, putting Nebraska on the board. It was 2-1. In the bottom of the fourth, there was a ground out to second, but Williams scored, tying the game 2-2. In the top of the eighth inning, McDowell singled to left, allowing Johnson to score for Arkansas, putting him up 3-2. In the bottom of the eighth inning, Core a homer to center for Nebraska, that tied it up 3-3. And in the bottom of the 10th, Kuzak for Nebraska homer center, it was a 2-run home run, putting Nebraska up 5-3 and ultimately giving them the win in this one. Nebraska had 8 total hits, 2 home runs, 15 runners reached base, and they advanced to the next round. So again, the elimination round will be taking place next. And again, the winners of this matchup will be awaiting the winners of those. So you'll have Texas Tech and Tennessee. Since they won, they'll be facing off against each other. And you have Nebraska and Alabama. And then in the elimination game, you have Texas versus Mississippi State and then UCLA versus Arkansas. So we will continue to monitor and watch that closely. And let's move on and talk about college football, because there was some news that came out. SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey recently had an interview, and he said, obviously, got to talking about the conferences and obviously said that the SEC is still the best conference by far, despite the Big Ten's recent success. And just to give you guys a little bit more context and details on that, again, the Big Ten, we know they've won the past 3 national championships in football. They're 4-0 against the SEC over the past 3 seasons in head-to-head college football matchups. But the commissioner, Greg Sankey, on Wednesday, he said, the SEC, they still, still stand alone. I'm obviously SEC. We still stand alone. And he says, and this is a quote from Greg Sankey, "If you look at the entirety of our league, we are by far the most competitive, the strongest football league by far." And he said, "But you're going to lose games when it's close and competitive like that. So why have they surpassed us? It's an oddball. It's bounced a couple times the wrong way." And when a reporter asked him why the Big Ten had moved past them, obviously he didn't, he obviously pointed out the victories that the Big Ten had over Alabama, how they could have, obviously gone either way. And ultimately, the scoreboard is what the scoreboard is. They won the game. But, really and truly, obviously the Big Ten, with them winning three straight national titles, this is the second time since the debut of the AP poll that happened. And meanwhile, obviously the SEC, they have not made a national championship game in three seasons. The conference longest streak since 1999 to 2002. So this has not happened in a long time, obviously. And, you know, there has been at least one SEC team in 16 of 17 national championship games from 06 to 2022 season. So in 2014 was the exception. So Greg Sankey says, look, I can assure you that everyone in this league is trying to figure out how to come up on the top end of that in the future. But I think from a big picture, the breadth, the depth of this league stands alone. In fact, we saw metrics out of the college football playoff presentation where there's no doubt we're the strongest league now. Now, there's some segments, other leagues that are towards, where we are, but not nearly the entirety of a conference like the Southeastern Conference. It's a pretty special place. And, you know, I 100% agree with Greg Sankey on this one. We all know, you know, the dominance. Just listen to what I said. Look, the dominance of the SEC has been there. 2006 to 2022, that has not been done. Yes, the Big Ten has had their success the past three seasons, and shout out, you know, congratulations to them. But obviously, they have a long way to go to become this dominant conference. We're not about to erase what the SEC has done, and just because the Big Ten has had some success. So everybody pump the brakes. I get it. The Big Ten, you know, they've had their success. But again, that doesn't take away the fact that their schedules are a joke. You know, we can look at a Big Ten schedule and laugh almost every single year, literally. And you compare that versus a SEC conference who beats up on each other week in and week out during SEC conference play. It does not compare. So while they've had success, they play weaker schedules. And then, you know, obviously have shown up in the playoffs the last three seasons. And the SEC have played a lot stronger schedules than the Big Ten has. So let's not get ahead of ourselves and sit up here and try to crown the Big Ten. Yeah, they're the conference to beat right now, but top to bottom, we know who runs college football. Who has run college football again minus the last three seasons. We know who's still the conference that everybody talks about, everybody has circled on their calendar, and we know who brings in the revenue. It's the SEC. So let's not get it twisted, man. But it is what it is. We'll be back. Believe that. But then let's shift gears here. Let's talk about let's go back to the NBA. But before that, again, you are listening to the No Sports Talk Show right here on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and Audioboom, and also YouTube. Please make sure you hit that button to subscribe on the YouTube channel, and also subscribe on whatever streaming services you're listening to get alerted and updated on when new episodes are posted or whenever I go live. Again, thank you for the love, the support that you guys continue to show week in and week out. Again, let's talk about, shift gears back to the NBA Finals. Some news out of New York. Mitchell Robinson had surgery on his broken right pinky. Initially, they said that, again, there's no timetable for a return, but he does plan to play in the NBA Finals. He's actually playing to not only just play in the NBA Finals, but to play in game one. And he'll be wearing a brace on his hand after undergoing that surgery. Again, the Knicks coach, Mike Brown, he did tell reporters he did have surgery, and it wasn't clear when he was injured. He said that, you know, he was not injured during game four and in practice. They did decline to give further details about the injury. But there was a video that showed Robinson grabbing at his right hand and shaking it going down the court with like 5 minutes and 35 seconds left in the third quarter on Monday. After he came down from attempting a rebound and a missed shot from his teammate Mikal Bridges, and then Robinson, he played off and on until like 7 minutes and like 50 minutes left in the fourth quarter in that Eastern Conference final sweep of the Cavaliers. Again, the Knicks, they're going to open the finals. This is their first appearance since 1999. Robinson is averaging 5 points, five rebounds in literally less than in really like, I don't even know what 0.6 blocks is. I guess you get a percentage point if your hand touches the ball on the block. I don't even know what 0.6 of a block is, but that's less than one block a game in 14 minutes per game in the playoffs. So, again, he's coming off the bench. Again, he's someone who really he fills in for Karl Anthony Towns as a big man whenever he gets into foul trouble. And, you know, on the offensive end, Robinson, obviously, he's 7 feet tall. He's been, you know, a subject from fouling from opponents. So they like to put him on the free throw line because he has issues there on the free throw line where he's 13 of 43, and that's 30%. And, again, he averaged 5 points, eight rebounds, and one block in 19 minutes per game during the regular season. So, again, not super impactful at all, but more so a big body. To clog the paint and fill in for Karl Anthony Towns whenever he's in foul trouble. So we'll see. I mean, they're definitely going to foul him and put him on the line any chance they can get if the opportunity presents itself in this series, depending on how long he plays, you know, whatever that's going to look like. So there's that. But that's a perfect segue into game seven, man, between the Spurs and the Oklahoma City Thunder. So now is the time where I'm going to give you guys my prediction. This has been an outstanding series. It's been back and forth. Again, the Spurs, they came out swinging in game one with Wimby in that 41-point performance. Then the Thunder responded and then tied the series up. Then as the series shifted back to San Antonio, OKC, they won game three. The Spurs came and won game four. The OKC back at home, they won game five. And then it shifted back to San Antonio where the Spurs won game six. And now we are here at game seven, man. Again, this one is going down tonight, 8 p.m. It'll be on NBC and Peacock. And look, I am going to give y'all my prediction, man. Again, I know you got OKC. They got a lot of firepower, especially, you know, at home, extremely dangerous team. And then you got the Spurs with Wimby, the young, young team, energetic team. They're streaky. They can run the shoots. They match up really well with OKC. I'm going to go with the San Antonio Spurs in this matchup. I know that sounds shocking, but I think the way that the Spurs, they had that energy that they came out with in game six, I think that we're going to get a motivated Spurs team coming into this game seven. I think they're going to bring that same intensity, and we all know game sevens are a toss-up. It can go either way. I see San Antonio coming in, Wimby being focused, getting those guys ready and prepared again, just like he did for game six. Now, I'm not saying that they're going to run away with this. I think that this is a game that could come down, obviously, to the final few seconds. Could even potentially go to an overtime or a double overtime. But ultimately, I'm thinking that the San Antonio Spurs are going to weather the storm. And I'm going to pick them to advance to the to upset OKC and advance to the NBA Finals with a matchup against the New York Knicks. Which was the last matchup that the Knicks had when they went to the NBA Finals in 1999. So want to see a history repeat itself and see what that matchup would be. And see what that matchup would look like in the NBA Finals. I think it'd be fun. But again, I'm going to go with Wimby and the San Antonio Spurs to knock off OKC in advance to the NBA Finals. Well, that's all I have for you guys. Look, I appreciate you guys sticking with me, rocking with me, man. I told y'all last week that I'd be back, man. No breaks. I'm here. Look, I'm ready. I'm energized, man, ready to talk some sports with you guys and continue these conversations week in and week out. Again, I appreciate you guys for the love, for the support. I hope everybody has a blessed weekend. Y'all have fun. Look, tune into this game. Whatever you do, be safe. Enjoy, and we'll see each other again next week, man, when we do it all over again. So peace, blessings. I'm out, man.